the revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw. That is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart, what is written in it, because the time is near. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia. Grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, and even those who pierced him. And all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, "Write on a scroll what you see, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea." I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was like white wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell down at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Write, therefore, what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and of the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches."
Let's pray for Dan as he comes to bring God's word to us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your faithful servant, Dan. Thank you for the words you've prepared through him this morning. And we pray that you would use him to speak clearly and to speak faithfully, and that, Lord, by your grace and through your Spirit, we would hear your voice and that our hearts would be changed. We ask this in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen.
I want to ask you this question. In your life so far, what are the voices that have made the most impact on your life? What voices have made the most impact on your life? Your mum? Your dad? A teacher? A friend? There's a new program out called Touch on the television, and here's what they say. In spite of all our communication technology, no invention is as effective as the sound of the human voice. When we hear the human voice, we instinctively want to listen in hopes of understanding it. Even when the speaker is searching for the right words to say, even when all we hear is yelling or crying or singing, that's because the human voice resonates differently than anything else in the world. That's why we can hear a singer's voice over the sound of a full orchestra. That we'll always hear that singer, no matter what else surrounds it. Being a Christian is really hard because life is messy. And what we're going to look at this morning is, what is the voice? What's the nature of the voice that is going to get you from here and into the new heaven and the new earth? What's the voice that's going to encourage us, to exhort us, to sometimes rebuke us, but that will guide us through to glory? John, the Apostle John, heard a voice. John, the Apostle John, if you look at verse 12, saw a voice. John is an apostle, the apostle who wrote John's gospel, who wrote the letters to John. And because he is a Christian, because he has been testifying to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the word of God, he's on an island. It's a bit like Guantanamo Bay, we'd call it today, Patmos. He's an old man. He's probably having to be engaged in heavy labour, hurling rocks around or doing something that those people do when they're in prison like that. And he wants to encourage a group of churches that are in modern day Turkey. We have them listed here in verse 11. And John wants to encourage those churches. He wants to tell them, yes, life is hard. Yes, you're being persecuted. Yes, life's just a bit rubbish, isn't it? And he wants to give them a picture and a vision. He wants to inspire them and encourage them so that they will persevere. And here we are this morning. We're not many in number compared to the rest of the population in the UK. We're under various pressures in our lives. I don't know what's going on in your life, but if it's anything like mine, there's always things that are hard. Perhaps you're spiritually dry at the moment. Perhaps you're suffering yourself or around you, sickness and death. Perhaps we're feeling as a church increasingly persecuted for proclaiming the uniqueness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we need is what John gave these churches. Yes, it's the book of Revelation, but it's very easy to see what the book of Revelation is about. Verse 1 told us. It's a revelation from Jesus Christ. Really, it could mean it's a revelation from him, but it's a revelation of him. Both senses are there. What's the book of Revelation about? It's about Jesus. And it helped and encouraged the Christians then, and it's going to encourage us this morning. So here's John on his island. And suddenly, John has a vision. He hears a voice. Now, it could be that someone smuggled him some wacky-backy, that he's just kind of, you know, smoking and having a kind of an out-of-body experience. It could be that he's been out in the sun a bit too long. But actually, he has this amazing vision. He's on the island of Patmos, but he's taken off the island of Patmos in the spirit, and he hears a loud voice like a trumpet. Now, what's the significance here? Well, I didn't know that Naomi was going to be playing the trumpet, but I brought my trumpet today. And the trumpet is an amazingly important instrument in the Bible. Here's my now. I need to tell you, this has been in my son's bedroom, so I don't quite know what he's been doing with it. He's been learning it. But here's the trumpet. And John hears a loud voice, like a trumpet. Now, I'm going to offend people who play other instruments. There ain't nothing like a trumpet, yeah? You won't see, I heard behind me a loud voice like a flute, I'm sorry. It just doesn't happen. It's a trumpet. It's loud. brings up all kinds of connotations in the Bible. When a trumpet sounds, when a trumpet sounds in Exodus, you know that God is about to speak. When a trumpet sounds in the New Testament, you know it's an apocalypse, it's a revelation. It's the end times, the end is coming. You know in the Bible when you hear a trumpet sound that war is about to break out. And so, God's just not telling us there was a voice and it sounded a bit like a trumpet. A voice like a trumpet is saying, there's something amazing going to happen. About beginnings and about ends. Oh look, I am the Alpha and the Omega. About going to war, having a sword coming out of someone's mouth. It's all very, very significant. So John hears this voice like a trumpet. Something amazing is about to happen. So what does John do? Look at me at verse 12. He turns round, and what does he see? A strange way of putting it. The Bible kind of got the English a bit backward here. John turns around to see the voice. He sees a voice. How can you see a voice? That's what it says. He sees a voice. And if he heard that trumpet blast, now he experiences something. He sees something that's so overwhelming. And just for a few moments, we're going to press the pause button just to look at what he saw. Now, we need to be careful here that we don't kind of unpick the rainbow. First of all, he's turned round and it's a blast. It's a kind of, he just sees something so magnificent, a picture. And the picture that he sees, I want to suggest to you this morning, is what the world is really like. You see, it's the opposite of the Wizard of Oz. Do you remember in the Wizard of Oz, Dorothy and the companions go to the Emerald City and they hear this booming voice and this very intimidating Wizard of Oz, and then Toto the dog comes and kind of pulls her on a kind of a curtain at the back. And there you see the real wizard, this kind of really weak, wheezy old man. And it's just all a complete fabrication. He's pulling levers and pushing bells. And what looks like a really fierce person, an awesome person, is a bumbling idiot. Well, we have the reverse of the Wizard of Oz, don't we, today? You go outside and ask what people think of Jesus. Weak, camp, soft. No. The real Jesus is the vision that we have here in Revelation 1. A completely awesome figure. How big is your picture of Jesus today? What do you think of Jesus, even? And just for a moment, for our sakes, for the sake of us, the Christians here this morning, John gives us a picture into what things are really like. It's as if I can kind of, there's a big curtain here, and I can unveil the reality of the situation in the world. And it's this picture of Jesus, this awesome picture of Jesus, this picture that Ross was talking about. That's who Jesus is. Not some weak, mild-mannered, camp, white, bearded individual, but the Lord of history, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the living one. And that, my friends, is what we need to hear. That's the vision that we need that will get us through. No other picture of Jesus will do it. So let's just spend a few moments looking at this picture. And as Ross points out, it's a very weird picture. If my three-year-old came home and had drawn that picture, I think probably social services might be involved very quickly. It's weird. And we need to know the language of what John is really picturing here. It's image language, it's symbolic language, it's Old Testament language. how John pictures Jesus is a load of symbols and pictures from loads of different books in the Old Testament trying to describe what he sees. Predominantly the book of Daniel, chapter 7 and chapter 10, but there's a bit of Ezekiel and a bit of Isaiah, and it's all kind of put together to show us who this Jesus really is. So John turns round, he sees the voice, and we'll get onto the lampstands in a minute, but let's just look at this person, someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his mouth was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp double-edged sword. Again, don't get out of your head any literal, you know, interpretation. My three-year-old would say, well, how can his voice sound like rushing waters when he's got a sword coming out of his mouth? That's not the point. The point is what it signifies. And the picture of Jesus that John sees here, I want to suggest there's at least four, there's probably more, images or offices that Jesus holds that John's telling us that are going to keep us going in the Christian life. The first is this: Jesus the King. The hair on his head is as white as wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. Daniel chapter 7, this amazing picture of a figure called the Son of Man. And this figure called the Ancient of Days, who inherits a kingdom that will never, ever end. A divine figure. A kingly figure. And John is telling us that figure is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is King. King over the universe. And King over his church. We'll come back to that shortly. Jesus is a king. He is a ruler. He is in charge. He is sovereign. That's what the hair on his head, that's what the signifying of white and wisdom. His eyes are like burning fire. In Daniel, it's portrayed that the empires, Persia and Assyria, they have feet, but they have feet of clay. This figure has feet like burnished bronze. John is telling us something about Jesus. Jesus is a king. He's completely other from us. Who are we to this king? And yet, Jesus is a priest. John turns round from the vision, and what's the first thing that he sees? The first thing he sees is not the Son of Man, or a figure like a son of Man. He sees seven golden lampstands. Now, you might be thinking, oh, what on earth do those lampstands mean? Well, of course, it tells us at the end. The lampstands are the seven churches. What's the picture? Here is a kingly figure, the Ancient of Days, the Son of Man. And where is he located? He's located in his church. He's walking around his churches. That's what the priests did. That's what the priests did in the Old Testament. They looked after the lampstands. They trimmed the wick. They filled it with oil. They looked after those lampstands. And here, the King of the entire universe, Jesus Christ, where is he to be found on Ascension Sunday? Where is he to be found? He's here. Here. If you could peel back reality now, Jesus is here. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them. The entire King of the universe, the one who is the Alpha and the Omega, is here at Rock Baptist Church this morning, walking around. Isn't that amazing? I hope that makes you think, oh, I better start listening to what this guy's speaking about now. If Jesus is here, I mean, of course, you listen to what Mike says every week, but if the Lord Jesus Christ, who made the universe, is here now, then you will listen to what he has to say. And so Jesus is a priest, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet with a golden sash around his chest. What does that mean?
Well, the priest is someone who steps in, who intercedes on behalf of God. And Jesus is the Son of Man. Jesus is a man, and yet he is God. And his priestly function means that he understands us. He understands if we're struggling with life. He exactly understands what we are experiencing. He's been there. He's done that. He knows. Jesus is our great high priest. But there's more. Jesus is a judge. His eyes were like blazing fire. Out of his mouth comes a sharp double-edged sword. You see, Jesus is a king, Jesus is a priest, but Jesus also is a judge, the judge. He's the judge of the universe, and my friends, he's the judge of his church. Now, this is an encouragement and a warning for us as Christians. An encouragement, because John is saying, no matter what hardships you Christians are facing, how the Roman Empire is forcing you to say other things about Jesus, that he's not unique, that he has to fit in with other gods, the same experiences that we are increasingly experiencing today in this country. People who might be imprisoned for their faith, well, John is imprisoned. People who are despised and scorned and rejected and laughed at for being Christians. And John says to those Christians, and he says to us this morning, not only Jesus knows, but Jesus will judge the universe. That's what the resurrection shows. At the end of Acts 17, Paul preaches, the resurrection means that God has appointed Jesus to judge the universe. And one day, friends, we will be vindicated. All the Christians who are currently this morning being tortured for their faith, for being Christians, they can see this picture and they can understand that one day they will be vindicated. Jesus will judge. And he also judges his church. His eyes are like blazing fire. That's the picture. Penetration. I'm at a theological college, and you get to understand about a lot of churches how churches often on the outside can look really nice and everyone's lovely, and you look on the backside of the church, literally, and you see that there's a lot of mess and there's a lot of dysfunction and there's a lot of backbiting, and Christians just aren't very nice people. And you may be able to cover that up, but you can't from the one whose eyes are like burning fire. Jesus knows. Jesus knows what's going on in his church. You can't hide from him. And I want to encourage you and exhort you that over the next few weeks, as you go through the letters to Revelation, there will be no stone left unturned, I hope and pray. Jesus knows his church. You can't hide from him. And it's good for us that his eyes are like blazing fire. It's good that out of his mouth comes that sharp double-edged sword. Of course, in Hebrews, we know that sharp double-edged sword is the word of God that can penetrate joint and marrow. And it also means this, that Jesus is a warrior. That's why he has a sword. All his enemies will be defeated. And again, Jesus is on our side. The King of the universe, who walks around his church, who walks around the lampstands, he will have the victory. Now, you can't draw that, but that is what something of what the picture is saying. I could spend weeks, you could spend weeks preaching on every one of those things. And John turns round and he sees it. Bang! Jesus the King, Jesus the Priest, Jesus the Judge, Jesus the Warrior. Jesus is a man. Jesus is God. Jesus is morally pure. Jesus will judge the world. Jesus will judge his church. Jesus is a king who is completely other. Jesus is near to us now. this morning. Jesus is not aloof. Jesus knows what you are going through. Now, that's the kind of Jesus that I want. That's not the kind of Jesus that is of popular perception in our world. And that's the Jesus that John sees. That is the reality of what it's like. This is the real Jesus. And what does John do? Verse 17. Well, he does what everyone in the Bible does when they have any kind of vision like this. He falls down as if he's dead. Of course you would. Just as if you can't look into the sun without going blind. You can't see the risen Jesus like this and be alive to a certain extent. When I saw him, verse 17, I fell at his feet as though dead. And what does the loving Lord Jesus do? What does the King of history do? What does the Judge of history do? What does the Divine Warrior do? He places his hand on me and says, "Do not be afraid." In some senses, Jesus doesn't mean do not be afraid, because John's terrified and he should be. This is the living God. But the idea is this, as we see in the Bible, if we believe that we are saved by God, from God, we will realize that once we recognize who Jesus is and we fall at his feet and we are rightfully afraid of him, then all our other fears in our life pale into insignificance. Now, friends, that's very hard to see, because the sufferings that we face are very near to us. I currently have a father-in-law who's dying of cancer, and it's very, very hard to see that. And some of you will be struggling. Some of you won't have, you'll be struggling in work. Your relationships will be really rubbish at the moment. But John is saying, Jesus is saying to us this morning, if Jesus is who he says he is, and you're rightfully afraid of him, then there's no need to be afraid of anything else. The Roman Empire, Rome. The Assyrian Empire, who's that? The British government, nothing. Compared to the living Lord Jesus, who is King of the universe. Because Jesus is the first and the last. And what's more, he's king not just over every empire that comes and goes. He's king over that ultimate enemy, death. You see, verse 18, it's amazing. John falls at his feet as though dead. Jesus says, "I am the living one." Not simply, "I am the one that gives life," but "I am life itself. If you want to find what life is, come to me." And then this staggering, staggering truth. I was dead. What? The Lord of the universe, the warrior, the priest, the judge. I was dead. But now look, I am alive forever and ever. Friends, here is the proof that Jesus really is the priest, the judge, the king. He has defeated death. It's one thing to say that Jesus is greater than any empire or king that's ever lived in this universe, because those kings have had to face death themselves. But the greatest enemy that we face as human beings is death. And Jesus says, "I've got the keys of death and Hades." Death is not the end. People say, don't they, and I've seen it, I saw it when my dad died. I was with him when he died, but he wanted people to speak to him. He wanted to hear the human voice. It's a great comfort to him. But greater still is to hear the voice of Jesus as you are dying. That's the voice you really want to hear. Because you know that because Jesus is alive, because he is the living one, that death has been defeated. He is alive forever and ever. The human voice may comfort you, it will not save you. You need to hear the voice of Jesus speaking to you. You need to hear the one who has the keys of death and Hades, of hell. So what do we do with this amazing picture? Well, some things to finish. Firstly, this, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Be afraid of the living Lord Jesus as you see the vision of him this morning, but don't be afraid of what people can do to us as individuals or as Christians. It doesn't matter. It pales into insignificance. We're to have a boldness as Christians. Don't be afraid. Please don't be afraid. The living Lord Jesus Christ is walking amongst the congregation here this morning and in congregations all throughout the world where people proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what reality is like. The world thinks that we are weak and we are small, where we have the God of history with us on our side. Isn't that encouraging? Please nod. That is encouraging. It's massively encouraging. Be blessed and take heart. Well, I can say that because that's what we read in the beginning of the letter. Revelation is the only book that promises blessing from reading the book. No other book promises it. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart. If you hear the words of Revelation 1 and you take it to your heart, God is promising you this morning that you will be blessed. Of course you'll be blessed, because you see what the world is really like. You get behind the mirage or the facade of life. And we've seen the penetrating eyes of God, and we've seen who Jesus really is. Be bold. We do think, don't we, that we have to protect Jesus. Jesus doesn't need our protection. He needs to protect us. And it does frustrate me on so many issues at the moment where people, even in public life, they're scared and they're Christians. Jesus is something of an embarrassment to us. We don't want to talk about Jesus. We don't talk about God. We certainly don't want to talk about Jesus. Oh, we are to be bold in our proclamation of who Jesus is. He is the living Lord. He is the ruler. He is the judge. He is the warrior. Please be bold in your proclamation. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Talk about him. Talk about this amazing picture. Talk about the reality of who he is. He was dead, but now he is alive. And finally, this is the prep for you as you go into your study here on the churches. Please listen. If Jesus is who he says he is in this vision, then you should be listening to what he will be saying to you over the next 7 weeks as you hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And you won't be complacent. And I've said already, you'll know that no stone will be left unturned, because those eyes of flashing fire, of burning fire, penetrate. Yes, Jesus is judge of the world, but Jesus is judge of his church. Jesus has feet of burnished bronze which express moral purity. And Jesus will trim and prune those lampstands. And it will be good for us to hear that. It will be hard. But you see, what can happen to a church or churches when they're under pressure? They can cave in. And I hope you've been encouraged this morning to keep on going, because this is who Jesus is really like. But there is a tendency to compromise. Compromise on the way we live. Compromise on what we think. And Jesus sees that. He sees into every single church. So listen. Listen carefully. You know, you can tell when people are listening or not. There's sometimes people aren't listening and they're slouching. And some people are listening. I would encourage you. I would exhort you even. Over the next 7 weeks, when the person gets up, whoever it is who's going to be expounding these letters to Revelation, I want to see you straight-backed, Bibles open, and you're going to listen, because this Jesus is talking to you. He's talking in the voice of a trumpet, beginning and end, Alpha and Omega. And he's our Lord. Why don't I pray? Oh Lord, thank you so much for the privilege of being able to pull back the curtain just for a few moments and see what the world is really like. To see that the living Lord Jesus, who is our great high priest, who is the king of the universe, who is the righteous judge of the universe and the church, who is the divine warrior, is with us this morning, walking around our churches. Lord, I pray that we would be encouraged by this, that we know that the Lord Jesus Christ knows what we are going through. He empathizes with us. He intercedes on our behalf. That the Lord Jesus Christ can see through us. However much we put up a facade, the Lord knows what's going on in his churches and will trim us accordingly. Lord, that even though we may feel downhearted and downcast and persecuted and dispirited, we know, Lord, that where there is injustice today, injustice for those who proclaim the name of Christ, that we can be encouraged, that we know one day there will be vindication, because the Lord Jesus Christ has been appointed as judge, and the resurrection shows this. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters here over the next few weeks who are going to hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches, what Jesus has to say to the churches. And Lord, I pray that there will be the appropriate amount of encouragement and exhortation, maybe rebuke and discipline that's needed. And Lord, we know that this is for our good, even though it's hard. Lord, it's an amazing privilege that the God of the universe is speaking to us this morning. And we pray, Lord, that our lives would be changed because of it. Give us that vision, Lord, as we go out into the week. Give us a boldness to talk about the living Lord Jesus. We pray that we would never be ashamed, but that we would proclaim this Alpha and Omega, the living one, in a dead and dying world. Amen.